Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me here in the year 2024, and I'm about to be in Sydney and Brisbane. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May, doing my show Dryer Dryer at the respective comedy festivals in those cities. But I'm also, while I'm up there, I figured I had a couple of days to kill, so I'm doing a Who Knew It with Matt Stewart on Monday, the 13th of May at the Chippendale Hotel, and in Brisbane at Good Chat Comedy on the 14th of May. And you can get tickets for all of that. Now, go to mattstewartcomedy.com for the links. mattstewartcomedy.com. Now, on with the show.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
All right. Okay, everybody, welcome to an episode of two separate shows. It's a genuine crossover episode today, everybody, because this is both an episode of Film Franchise Fortnights on the Cult Popture podcast, and it's also an episode of...
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates in popular culture from Chimpan A all the way down to Chimpan Z. And this week, I'm joined... all the way from New Zealand. I think this might be the first time I've had double New Zealand guests. It's a big moment. We've been working our way towards this for a long time. It's AJ and Richard. Welcome.
Thank you so much. And welcome to you to our show as well, Matt. We had a discussion.
Not the first time we've had one Australian guest.
We had a brief discussion beforehand of should we record separate intros for this episode since it's going out on both our feeds, and decided it would be funnier to not do that. Hopefully people are already rolling on the floor laughing at the silliness that has taken place.
Yeah, I just, for the record, I want everyone to know AJ said it would be funnier. I suggested let's record two different intros, but I guess that is because with Primates I don't edit it, so... Maybe when you are taking a bit more pride in your output, maybe then you don't want to have to do multiple drafts and whatnot. I get it. Okay. AJ trying to save Richard some time.
Yeah. Well, as the editor for the podcast that you're listening to on either platform, I was not given a vote.
Yeah. Why is that? Richard, what do you want to do the casting vote now?
Yeah, what's happening, Richard? Is it two intros or one intro?
Because we could start again.
Actually, no, to be fair, I voted for doing them at the same time. And
to save yourself some work, wasn't it, Richard?
It was rightly ignored, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you wanted us to say, like, directly over the top of each other.
Yeah.
Pan to your left speaker if you want to hear AJ.
And all three of us are over a Zoom call right now, so there are already some overlaps that kind of communicate the same speaking over each other idea.
True, yeah.
Already, which is great podcasting.
I thought, AJ, you said you were coming over this comedy festival.
I was, but then I've got another international trip planned and needed to recoup. Like, figure out what I'm doing properly.
You cannot call Australia an international trip, can you?
I've never been to Melbourne. I've only been to Australia a couple of times.
You flying to Melbourne would be the same distance as Melbourne to Sydney or something, I think. Really?
Probably, yeah.
I think you should just, you got to reframe that in your mind and just say this is just a day trip, you know?
All right, Richard, let's do it. Let's do a Cult Popture tour of Melbourne. In a couple of weeks.
Okay. Yeah. Let's.
I think that'd be great. We can do the next episode in studio.
There you go.
Ooh.
Awesome.
Hey, can I ask you two something? Just because AJ, have you been on Primates before? I can't remember.
No. No, you've been on Who Knew It a couple of times.
And yeah, you've been on Who Knew It and Do Go On, which are also on the same podcast network. But finally, I guess to you, this is like reaching the summit.
Absolutely. I'm finally a prime mate.
Finally on the best one.
Yeah, yeah. This is the one whenever if I meet listeners out in the wild and they say, oh, love listening to you on Do Go On, I'm like, they're a great person, big fan of theirs. They say, I love hearing you and your podcast, Who Knew It, with Matt Stewart. I say, you are one of the greats. They say, I love listening to you on Primates. I say, you're my God. Let me kiss your ring and in whatever way you want to take that.
Wow. Well, I'm a big fan of Who Knew It.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a safe response after what I just said. I think I might have scared a few people off mentioning primates in conversation now. But I tend to ask this question towards the top of the show with new guests because my normal second banana, who hasn't really been for quite a while, and this show is now quite a sporadically released one, but he is literally sitting 10 meters away from me in the next office, and I invited him on and he said he's too busy. Anyway, Evan Munro Smith, he hosts a gaming show called Jimmy, I can never pronounce it, I think it's Jimmy James James Show, and he also said, when I once asked him who his favorite primate is, he said humans, and then I said, can you be more specific, and he said Andy from Toy Story. Now, do either of you, Richard or AJ, have a suggestion of a primate so fantastic that it would change Evan's stupid opinion?
Richard, what do you think?
So there was you put this question to us. I've had 24 hours to think about this, and there was two that I could come up with. One is the evil monkey that lives in Chris's closet in Family Guy.
Okay.
what a hilarious running gag that was.
Richard, you know what? I think this might be the one that convinces Evan. Can I see if I can get him in here?
Yeah. Yeah,
I'll just see if I can get him in for just a few minutes.
This is the energy that the Space Chimps episode needed, I think, because I want to put off talking about these films for as long as I can.
The rest of my goddamn life.
Oh, hello.
Hello, Evan.
Hello.
AJ, Rich.
So, welcome to your own podcast.
or our podcast, depending which feed.
Yeah. I think it's
very
both.
Very fun and confusing. Yeah.
It's a pleasure to be here on both, regardless.
I was just saying, you were so close by, but also you're just too busy at the moment. Coming up to comedy festivals, Chabelle Studios is for flat chat.
Yeah, we're flat out.
But I thought maybe you could spare a few minutes while Richard and AJ try and convince you that they have superior primates to Andy from Toy Story.
Okay. All right. I was going to say I'm open to suggestions. I haven't really been very open to suggestions. But, you know, look, I'm open to having a talk.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever noticed how it seems today that really all you see is violence in movies and sex on TV?
Yes, I have noticed that, actually.
Yeah. Well, what if I told you that there was an evil monkey who lives in Chris Griffin's closet? And he points at him. That's really the whole extent of the gag.
Okay. Yeah. No, I remember.
So that's my suggestion. If you remember 2007, pre-financial crisis.
I vaguely remember. Does that monkey have a name?
I believe he's the evil monkey who lives in Chris's closet. There is an episode where it's explained that he is evil because he got cheated on. And and he there's like a spotlight episode on the monkey, and he ends up moving out of the closet or something.
Yeah, right. I don't think I saw that.
I'm trying to act out of like ideas. I think kept up with Family Guy.
What a time that was as well. 2007, in between obviously 2001 when those towers came down, the whole world changed. But then obviously, why are you laughing there, Evan? That was weird. And then the financial crisis, what was that, 20,
2008, yeah.
2008. Yeah. So that period in there, what a funny little time that was.
Yeah.
Because obviously the financial crisis happened and all those large companies came down and the world changed forever. But in between, it sort of changed once, but it's yet to change again.
Yeah.
And that was the time years. When Family Guy could really have an evil monkey. Yeah, yeah.
If that doesn't work for you, I do have another suggestion as well.
Okay, well, look, yeah. I mean, I feel like this monkey doesn't even have a name.
Okay, so that's interesting. So you need fact that Andy from Toy Story has a name, because we don't see a lot of him. We see his ankles a bit. I think as the series go on, he gets a few words. Character
that he has a name.
That's true.
He's got emotions, wants, and needs.
Richard, I tell you what, this next suggestion better have a freaking name, man.
Do you love Damon Albarn but hate Britpop? Because I think I've got the primate for you.
I don't hate Britpop. I think I like. Can I like both of those things? Or does that throw you off?
Yeah, you don't have to hate Britpop. I mean, maybe you're such a big fan of Damon Albarn that you're like, well, I love his Britpop work. I want to see what else he's got. Because Richard, then-
is there a sweet gap in between the two, much like between 9/11 and 2008 financial crisis, the GFC?
Is that what you're saying? Overlap, right?
Albarn is like the 9/11 and of course, the GFC is like Britpop. Or vice versa.
Well, I'm telling you that in the middle of that, there was this sweet.
If you say that spot. Evil monkey again,
I'm talking, of course, about the band Gorillaz, spelt with a Z.
Yes,
Gorillaz.
I do like Gorillaz. They do have definitely a broader body of work than Andy from Toy Story, but you know. I'm not so hot on their later stuff.
Oh.
Well, yeah, they did. Was it after like Plastic Beach? They just said, we need more music to perform live. We've been too slow with our output. So
yeah, right.
They wrote an album in like a week.
I mean, Plastic Beach is great. I really like, I mean, there's some of their more recent stuff is good. They're a band that I like. They're a lot
Can
of
I say
singles.
This? Plastic Beach was their first album post GFC.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow.
So that'll be why.
Yeah, so Demon Days and Gorillaz both came out pre-GFC.
Wow.
That's but post 9/11.
Well, Gorillaz actually was pre-9/11.
Mm. Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, the world was quite different then.
I think it shows in the music that it's pre-9/11.
Yeah, it was a lot more innocent.
Yeah. They're happy. They're feeling glad.
Yeah,
They've got sunshine in a bag.
There's hope, isn't there? Sunshine in a bag to me is hope.
Yeah.
Yeah, what does Andy have?
He has hope. I think, didn't he go to university?
Yeah, right. Gave away his boy.
You don't do that unless... what was I going to say? During COVID, the Gorillaz did a bunch of performing in a Stevie Gold warehouse and live streamed it, and there's a great performance of like fire coming out of a monkey's head with the narration done by Matt Berry. Of course, Dennis Hopper passed away since the track was released. And that's really good.
Why would they have it coming out of a monkey's head when they're the Gorillaz? That's confusing.
I think maybe it's unrelated to the name. Okay. I think it's a coincidence. But,
oh, okay, right.
You wouldn't question it if any other band had a monkey.
No, that's true.
Yeah, you're being monkeyist? I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, monkeyist.
Yeah. Look, I really like Gorillaz, but I don't even know what the, I mean. At the core of them, aren't they? They're a collection of humans. So if we're trying to pit humans as the best primate, I think it's not, because it's not an actual primate. It's a group. In fact, a fictional group. Maybe like
gonna,
Andy, you could say.
You're going to hate my favorite primate of popular culture then, buddy.
Fictional's fine. I should say fictional's fine. But there
I had some bad news. Andy.
I almost painted myself into a corner there. That's why. But
It's like growing up, you know, when you everyone tried to like see if their toys could actually move when they shut the door. Mm. Evan did that, but trying to see if Andy was real.
Yeah. And he was.
In a way, we're all Andy from Toy Story. At some point in our lives, we're all playing with toys and hope, you know, maybe thinking maybe they'll come alive. I don't know.
Right. So it's a relatable thing. It's a you see yourself in the character kind of thing.
I think that's one of many angles.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about this, Evan? My favorite primate in popular culture is the symbol monkey from Toy Story 3.
Oh, wow.
Oh, the one that bangs the symbols, right.
It bangs the symbols and alludes to the daycare.
Interesting.
He said, like, he was a baddie, wasn't he?
He looks evil in my mind. Yeah.
Might be my least favorite primate in pop culture.
Yeah, pretty. I think a pretty two-dimensional character. Really, they didn't really go much into the. Again, does he have a name?
Yeah, didn't have the maybe depth of an Andy.
But it, you know, I mean, that, you know, that could well have been one of the reasons, one of the tangential reasons we covered the movie on the podcast. In fact,
his name is Jolly Chimp.
Yeah,
they
pulled up as well.
Yeah, a mechanical depiction of a monkey holding a symbol in each hand. It's very literal.
Well, okay, yeah. Actually, just to clarify, just to be nitpicky, the toy is called Jolly Chimp.
Right.
The character in Toy Story is just called the monkey.
Okay.
Oh, right.
And that's an important distinction to me.
But how about that? How about getting the character name the monkey? He's the monkey.
Yeah.
Wow.
Makes it harder to put more monkeys in the films from that point on, right?
Yes.
Very
but
good
not
point.
More primates.
I retract my statement. He's no longer my favorite primate. He makes the playing field too confusing. What if there's another monkey? There's the monkeys in a barrel from
Toy
Story.
Well, you could have the other monkey. Mm. You could have another monkey. He's just, he can still be the monkey while there's another one. Mm. He's just the
could
one.
Could have an evil monkey, perhaps.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's like how Richard is the man, but AJ, you're still a man.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for noticing. Shall we crack into what we were hoping would be a not too long a
quick episode. Well, I think before we need to get Evan's, because I think Evan's got to get back to work, but before, did any of these convince you, Evan?
No, I don't think so. The closest one was the gorillas, and I really like the gorillas, but I think at the core of what the gorillas are is a human man named Damon Albarn.
Hey, you know what I've not been doing? Recording.
Oh, right.
Is that a problem?
Fuck.
We've been recording on Zoom.
Sorry.
We have a track if you want to.
I am now recording. I'm so sorry. How long have we been going for?
19 minutes.
Right. Should we? Well, listeners will notice a distinct improvement in quality from now on, right?
Yeah. Fucking hell.
It'll be fine.
Sorry, everybody. Sorry, Richard. What is this, amateur hour? A little bit.
A little bit.
That's promise. Could be subtitled amateur hour.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Mm-hmm. Gorillas are great band, but I don't think
because at the core, you said at the core of Gorillas is a human man, whereas at the core of Andy from Toy Story is polygons on a computer, which you like more, I'm
understanding. Oh, yeah.
But he's, you know, I think we're talking about the character, the fictional character of Andy is still a human man.
Evan, so, I think you're changing your argument depending on what information is presented to you so that you can maintain it.
No, look... It's a very cogent point of view. I think that they're both human men, and and I think you got to say that Andy's better because he's younger, and that's, you know, I think Albin's getting on in years.
Okay, younger. Richard, can you think of any younger primates than Andy?
Young primate.
What about the monkey in Futurama who has to wear a hat to be smart?
Oh, yeah. I remember that episode. That was quite a depressing episode, I think.
Gunter? We did an episode of Primus about it.
Yeah, right. Gunter.
Yeah.
Gunter.
Yes.
And he puts the hand on his butt.
We did an episode of that with you and Beck Petratus, I believe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a good episode. But yeah,
they know how to make a sad episode.
And now we transition into a review of a previous Primates episode.
Look, I don't remember that Primates episode very well. Like most things, it's a blur. But
that gets us back to Damon Albarn.
Oh, yes. Right. He has some good songs. Park Life.
Yeah.
Park Life, yeah.
Park Life.
Yeah, that was him. Well, no, that was Andy, wasn't it? Oh, no, I'm thinking of just reach for the sky or whatever he says when he's reaching
for the story. Woody.
That's Woody.
No, but he plays Woody when he's playing with Woody. Okay. He speaks for him. He's a mouthpiece.
No, he's a pull string toy. Have you even seen Toy Story?
No, but he might be playing with him and going, rah, pow, pow, pow.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying.
All right. Okay.
Ever the Andy defender even comes to my saving.
That was a pretty good Tom Hanks there as Woody, AJ. Well done.
Reach for the sky.
Andy.
Who once, on episode 100, we got the voice of Andy to do a cameo forever.
Oh, shit.
Oh,
yeah.
Hell awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, go
see,
listen to that.
See, now we've pivoted hard into a cult popshire podcast conversation.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, and I'm very intrigued now.
What is this podcast supposed to be about?
We're supposed to talk about two movies called Space Chimps and Space Chimps 2, Zartog Strike Back. We're 23 minutes in. Matt wasn't recording for most of it, and we're yet to talk about the films, but that's fine.
You just jumped.
Going well.
You jumped so quickly into the episode that my head was spinning.
I'm so sorry. Easy in for Matt.
You're going to ease in and probably say, are we all recording? Something like that. Don't just assume.
The sync clap at the start, just thought that was for fun.
Yeah.
Thought we did that for our health.
Yeah, I'd normally like to take a running start. And then, you know, half an hour after we've warmed
up. Get 20 minutes or so under your belt and then start the real podcast.
Matt, I think you're my favourite primate in popular culture. You bloody monkey. What are you not recording for?
Thank you, AJ. I know that there was a veiled backhander in there.
But, I didn't mean it for it to be veiled.
I appreciate that very much. I choose to take the hand. I'm not going to focus on which part, if it was the front or the back. I just thank you for reaching out your hand to me. Yeah. And I take your hand.
It's a
I give it a little kiss.
On the ring, perhaps?
On the ring. Right on the knuckle.
An offer extended to anyone listening to this on the Primates feed.
Evan, anything you want to say before you head off? It's been a while since you've been on this show. Probably been a year.
Yeah, it has been a while.
Anything?
We've got to finish Umbrella Academy.
Yes, we've got to finish Umbrella Academy. And for
the show, not just you're watching it in your office before you came into
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, I've been saving it. There's been a few things that I've been saving for
yes,
the podcast.
Me too. I've been saving that. I've been saving the rest of... Oh, no, we've still got to do the rest of Hitmonkey.
Yep.
Anyway, AJ and
Indiana
Richard.
Indiana Jones.
I'm saving the Indiana Jones film.
There's a new Kong film, right?
Yes, yeah. There's one coming, yeah. Yep.
Seeing it tomorrow. Well, I will have already seen it by the time this is out, but yeah.
Bloody hell.
Whoa!
I love apes!
I didn't realize I was meeting a celebrity.
Well, hang on. Primates might not know this. Listeners, I should pluralize it. Listener of primates. But listeners of primates might not know this, but AJ is officially a Barbie expert.
Well, so is movie, Richard, actually. So
when the movie Barbie came out, was Richard on the news with the lower third saying Barbie expert?
He produced the story on the news that had me in it.
Well, the only reason he got in the fucking story is because I'm such a Barbie expert.
That's pretty good, though.
The movie or the Barbie?
This is such a long story to begin.
It's about they've watched every Barbie film, and they're mainly awful apart from the
I can imagine
the recent one. Mm-hmm. And so I think maybe the only two people in the world have done that.
I guess there's a lot of them for that to be an achievement.
There are 42
currently.
Yeah. Whoa.
And that people can listen to, that's like one epic episode, isn't it?
Yeah.
You are, it's had to be split into three parts for Acast's fascist regime. They don't let you upload 18-hour audio files. So,
God.
It's intended to be one episode, yes.
Yeah, we think of it as one.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Awesome. Oh, thanks for dropping by, Evan.
No worries.
It's always good to have the second banana in the monkey house.
Good to check in. Look, it's always good to game out these, you know, the scenarios, these arguments, and we just sort of work out why Andy is still the best primate.
Yeah.
It's an important conversation we all need to be having.
I think it's a good thing to revisit because things can shift.
Things change.
Yeah.
Not this, obviously.
Yeah,
so
this hasn't shifted. No.
Well, I mean, I can think of a few days specifically in time where things changed. I don't need to go into them, but
you know. Oh, please, why not at this stage?
What's the next one going to be?
Yeah, what's the next one? Is the GFC the last big one we've had?
Depends.
I guess
on what
COVID.
Would
you
I
assumed you were being facetious.
Has there been one since there? COVID. Could you count COVID as a world changer, Richard? Do you think?
Could I count COVID as something that changed the world?
I think I might. Yeah, okay. Well, here in Melbourne, didn't affect us too much. No, we had the world record for longest lockdown, so.
We're
pretty proud of that.
It affected us so much that we recorded like a record number of this podcast, right? Like,
yeah, we did. This podcast was finished by the end of 2019. And COVID meant it was resuscitated just to give us something to do.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. Well, that was the real world-changing event.
AJ is hating this. I love it. He's like, I want to talk about space chimps.
I'm going to let you talk about space chimps. Thanks so much for having me, guys. It's good to talk to you. Bye.
Yeah, AJ, not one to hide his contempt very well, I've learnt in my decade of friendship.
Right out there, right on the front of his face.
I feel so red right now.
You look a bit red. Red with fury.
Excellent. I meant the other kind of red, as in you've read my face, but I guess that I also am red. Do you guys still want to talk about spaceships?
Let's move straight on to Space Chimps 2, Zartok Strikes Back.
I thought it was interesting when you told me, you're like, I needed both movies to get one episode out. I'm like, I don't know how you do podcasting, but
a strict bullet-pointed report on movies, which spoilers for what our thoughts on them, they're not very good. I can't speak for you, Matt. I know that Richard didn't like them, and nor did I. But we could get into it if all parties are happy to to get into the movies themselves. Alrighty.
AJ, what do you think about this, though?
Yeah?
We do two episodes.
Yeah.
One for each movie.
Well, it's you. We can split your Primates feed into that if you want. We can't. We need to be done with Space Chimps. It needs to be in the past.
We have a reputation to uphold.
There is, you guys are so efficient that you're doing 18 hour episodes when you could be doing 18-hour episodes.
Agreed. And maybe that's something to quickly pivot to. Alrighty, we have got a movie to talk about, everybody. It is called Space Chimps. It came out in 2008. This feels so boring now to be talking about.
Well, this is what kicked off the financial crisis, isn't it?
Yeah, I think this might have been the domino.
It was directed by someone named Kirk DiMicco in what Wikipedia proudly tells me is his directorial debut. And Kirk himself wrote that because he's the only person whom that's an important piece of information for, right?
Well, you think the man who directed Ruby Gilman Teenage Kraken is concerned with things like editing his own Wikipedia page.
Yeah, I think he's got other bigger fish to fry.
He's making Croods money, dude. Like, he doesn't need this shit.
He's also, like, I think because it was his first film, you know, sometimes if you don't know the rules, you don't have to stick by them. And that's why I think he is in the area of auteur. Okay. This man, he did things that I think no other filmmaker has done before in
made a movie called Space Chimps.
Yeah. He's kind of like a Dr. House of directors, if you will.
I think so. Yeah, that's right. He doesn't care about the rules. He doesn't care about stepping on people's toes.
Yeah, yeah, they're like, here's your it's your first film. Here's the rule book. He threw that thing right out the window. Yeah.
He said, yep. First change, they're all going to be chimps. It was originally called Space Humans.
Yeah. I'm changing it. This is we're no longer calling this Apollo 11. This is Space Chimps.
What do you guys reckon Space Chimps has on Rotten Tomatoes?
Oh, as a audience or critics?
Both. It's the same number.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I would have thought this might have had a higher audience score than critics. I'm going to guess like 32.
Mm-hmm. Richard?
I'm going to guess 34.
Inexplicably, and I'm not kidding, it's 33% on Rotten Tomatoes for both critic and audience scores. Will one of you please tell us, tell the audience who are starving at home, what is Space Chimps 2008 about? Does anyone want to take this? Does anyone remember enough of the plots to...
I can take this one because... I don't want to have to do the second one.
You guys are so efficient. Why are you moving on so quick from the fact that we were we straddled the right answer? That was a beautiful moment. I think we should talk about it for 5 to 10 minutes.
Richard has the most boring but impressive talent of being able to guess Rotten Tomato scores very accurately. Right. So I've been worn down to someone guessing in the right area.
I have to admit this time I did know. And Matt was one off, I was like, this is going to be hilarious. Presumably we'll stop and talk about this for a little while. But no, AJ being worn down in the way that he is, wanted to swiftly move on to the plot of Space Chimps, which is about a group of chimps who go to space. They go through a wormhole, end up on another planet where the evil Zartog is kind of a dictator ruler. And what they do is the way that he keeps his... Because there's other technology from Earth that crash lands there and he takes hold of that. And anyway... But the thing that they do, the fucked up thing to happen in this kids film, is that they dip people into this resin, which and it's horrific. Made explicitly clear, you are still alive, you are still conscious for extended period of time as well. Their eyes are completely moving.
Do you think they did that because in their mind it's softening the blow? It's saying, well, look, they're not dead. They're just frozen in place for eternity. That's nowhere near as bad.
It's a very, it's an I have no mouth, but I must scream sort of torture. And
also, I was wondering how they... stay alive, you know, without any sustenance. But I guess they're aliens. We don't know. Maybe they take in nutrients through their eyeballs from the air.
That's
or something.
True. That's
we
true.
Don't know. So we I don't. Thought I had him on a goof there, but, you know, who am I to say?
But yeah, Kirk D'Amico thought of these things.
Yeah.
Didn't the animation quality started out pretty poor, but those aliens are on
pretty
another
poor
level
too.
Poor. Yeah, they're really poorly designed.
The planet is boring as fuck as well. There's just no texture to it.
I think maybe the second movie, because I watched them back to back, it's a bit of a blur, but they go into the forest and stuff and it's a bit more interesting with some plants. But yeah, that first bit, it looks like a screensaver sort of thing, the ground.
Totally. Yeah. It's like some of this is... It's one of these films that was made for such a low budget that a lot of things in it are very simply designed geometric shapes because that's what's easy to make in digital design, right? And I thought that the titular chimps are... They're fine. Their character designs, their animations, they're all good. But yeah, those aliens, Zartog, played by Jeff Daniels,
the voice cast is... incredible. Yeah. So many really stars. Star stacked.
Yeah, we've got quite amazing. We've got Andy Samberg voices Ham the Third, who's the main character. You've got Cheryl Hines, who's a bit of a strange pick for a opposite Andy Samberg, but she plays another chip named Luna. You've got Patrick Warburton playing Titan, because it's an animated movie from the 2000s, so Patrick Warburton will show up. I imagine he's
and
in
he plays
dozens
Putty,
of Primates
basically.
Episodes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think his instruction when they said, all right, picture this. Imagine Putty was a chimp. And then he said, I know exactly what you want.
And when they did Emperor's New Groove, they were like, imagine Putty, but as like an Aztec. And he's like, I think I know what you're talking about.
And Family Guy, they're like, imagine Putty if he couldn't use his legs.
Yeah. Gotcha. He's very, he can get right into that character. Great character. I love the Putty character.
Well, how do you feel about Kristen Chenoweth? Because she plays a character, an alien in this film, called Kilowalla Wizza Sahuza, or Kilowatt for short.
Just brutal. Just
the worst.
Why? Yeah, I guess they were looking for, I don't know who that was for, but for little kids, because
the whole movie's for little kids.
Obviously, the whole movie's for little kids. But I think the more successful ones tend to go, all right, adults are going to have to be able to put up with this.
Mm.
We'll make sure there's nothing in it that is like nails on a blackboard.
Yeah, I think that this movie compensates for that by making the main character like a sex pest, and that's their idea of being like,
we can relate
jokes
to him
for adults.
As adults. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Yes. I don't know Kristen Chenoweth?
She originated the role of Glinda the Good Witch on Broadway, but she's been in a bunch of she was in the West Wing. I assumed that this was in there for all the West Wing fans.
Oh, yeah. Summer for the Wingers.
Yeah, exactly. You've also got Stanley Tucci as a senator back on Earth who I was like, whose voice is that? And I was sure it was Patrick Fabian, and then looked it up and was like, oh, it's someone considerably more famous than Patrick Fabian.
This is where a lot, like, and the budget is small, but a lot of it must have gone to these actors, right?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. I was shocked to learn that this had a theatrical release. I
remember this
coming out. Looking at the
poster,
really, I don't remember it at all. It just existed in the bargain bins of warehouses or big W's for you over there, Matt, all of a sudden overnight, I believe.
It looks like, you know, like a daytime TV show that on a kids channel that would go for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like just something that would have been mass produced. It almost feels like maybe that's what it was. It was meant to be 100 episodes of this thing. Like, you know, if we join this all together, we could get a feature release.
Do you know that's what the sequel to Moana is going to be? It was a TV show they pulled the plug on 3 episodes in, and they're converting it into a theatrically released movie, which is like such an ominous production.
What a glam up. That is a glow up. Jeez, that's a big jump.
Mm-hmm.
I think Toy Story 2 initially was meant to be direct-to-video, and they were like, nah, this is great. This should go to the cinemas. But that's a whole nother level.
Because
it got cancelled. Did it get cancelled because it was so good, and they're like, this is too good for TV?
I think they just didn't want to... I don't know. I don't have the Variety article right in front of me right now, but I think they just didn't want to... What do you know more about... Richard, you know more about this than me, surely.
No.
Okay, never mind then.
And one of the few things I don't...
I can tell you, though, that in 2002, this is according to Wikipedia, Kirk D'Amico conceived of this brilliant premise of anthropomorphic chimpanzees on a spaceship from viewing The Right Stuff.
Spaceship feels right.
Sorry, a Freudian slip about what I fucking think of these movies. The Right Stuff, which is a 1983 film, a fictional depiction of the Mercury 7 program. It included the line, "Does a monkey know he's sitting on top of a rocket that might explode, which made him wonder what happened if the monkey would know.
And thus
Space Chimps was born.
I think I love how a man, what's his name? Kirk. Well, a man like Kirk D'Amico.
Yeah.
I like, because a lot of auteur sort of film geniuses won't be so open. But he's let us in to his process.
Yeah.
And I think what a gift.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
He wanted to ask the question, what if the chimps knew? Yeah. And like at least two movies in that, I reckon.
Yeah.
Which
yeah,
is what's happened.
Yeah, if not 100 episodes of a TV series.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think that's fantastic. Kirk, what a guy. And I love the way his mind works. And yeah, it's so, I almost feel like, you know, giddy taking a step into the mind of the man.
Could he be your new favorite primate? Not Richard the man.
Oh, right. Well, I think Kirk D'Amico might be right up there for me. I traditionally would say orangutans, but...
Can I break the joke for a second and say how funny it is that the fact that humans are technically primates like completely breaks the game of saying what your favorite primate is, right? Because you can just say anyone now.
That's right. Yeah. We are some of the greatest apes.
Well, so they say.
I'm on the record saying that, and I'm an amateur primatologist, so my word goes.
Mm. Well, good.
I want to break away from the herd here just a little bit and say praise one aspect of this film, and that I actually thought in parts it was pretty funny.
I'm not joking. I agree. Yeah. The animation let it down. I think if the animation was, you know, Pixar or something, this would be a fine film. There was quite a few bits that were, I think, good classic jokes.
I think, yeah, it has a good sense of humor, whether or not that actually comes through in every single joke, you know, is another thing. But there was quite a few times in this film where I actually laughed, and I can imagine seeing this wheeling in the TV at the end of a school day when you've got a free period and watching this, like, at the right age, this could have been my favorite movie at one point. And, like, it reminded me of watching Hoodwinked, if you guys remember that movie, in the same scenario where it's like that movie looks like absolute fucking dog shit. It's got a great cast, though, and it's fucking hilarious. There's a sequel one now, too, so we might cover it on the podcast one day. But, like, yeah, for a hot minute, that was, like, the film in my friend group, and there were bits in this where I was like, oh God, I can imagine quoting that to my other 12-year-old friends.
Mm. While you were 12 at the time as well.
I haven't seen this. Richard, have you seen Racing Stripes? I think that was about a zebra who ended up
voiced by Frankie Muniz.
Well, you know that our man Kirk D'Amico wrote it.
Oh. Holy shit.
He wrote Racing Stripes. Yeah.
Shit.
Kirk D'Amico of Racing Stripes fame? He's directing a film?
He co-wrote the Roald Dahl adaptation of The Twits. This guy, like...
Mm.
And you know, something else
say... That's a new version of The Twits still to be released.
When Space Chimps came out, he was only in his... He was still in his 30s. This man is basically like a, you know, like a young visionary.
Yeah. I think that there is a modicum of truth to what you're saying, and at least the sense that I think that Kirk D'Amico is maybe not the most impressive voice in kids' movies, but I do think he takes it seriously because I think some of this was born out of the like budgetary limitations of what they could actually like model, but there is a lot of world building and lore in this film that I didn't necessarily hate. Like like I said before, like there's a lot of geometric shapes, but when you've got no budget and
or any of life other than geometric shapes.
Well, exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. Like some of the wild animals on this alien planet or some of the machines or whatever, because it feels like there isn't really like a house style they're following, they're all drastically different.
It's nothing
and
like
all
house.
Like
there's no house style at all.
They played they play by the rules.
I thought that some of the stuff I've written here, it almost has echoes of Giga, of H.R. Giga style, like alien Prometheus kind of like styled machinery.
I love those guys.
Yeah, there you go.
The flying, so I love those animals that were like, they're basically like flying manta rays or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's creepy. Like it's interesting design.
They shot spears out of themselves, which they seem to just be able to reproduce. They had an unlimited amount. I'm like, what a fascinating creature this is.
Exactly. Mm. It looked like something from the Half-Life games, I thought.
Yeah, speaking of like, you know, things that our bodies are able to reproduce, I was distracted.
I do need to pee.
By the end of the film that because the whole thing is I can't remember what the actual liquid is called that they
Fresnar?
The Fresnar. There's a volcano that erupts of it at the end, and clearly once again it's done for budgetary constraints, but it looks like a giant volcano of semen.
That's true.
Yeah, for budgetary constraints I had to do real effects for that one.
Yeah.
And yeah.
That's grisly. That's so
well, you know, that's the thing.
I'm just reporting it.
I'm just
saying that's part of the genius of D'Amico. He'll get it done no matter the cost. In this case it came as quite a large personal cost to him.
It's why the film took so long to get made from 2002 when he watched The Right Stuff.
Yeah.
Because he had to get the right stuff.
Took him quite a few takes. Yeah.
I had a thought while watching this movie, which is fairly a little bit more existential than I thought I would get. But do you guys get the feeling that, or am I alone here? I feel like I'm getting too old for this genre of podcast. I feel like in my life, not the podcast, not podcasting about movies, but I feel like the days of watching very cheaply made budget bin kids movies are rapidly like becoming something I do not have time nor the justification for anymore. Do you know what I mean?
I think, well, I would like to say, AJ, the only reason I have watched these is because you asked me to. Okay?
I'm so sorry.
And then to hear that it was two movies for one episode, I'm like, what the heck?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I've ever really been in the demographic for this kind of, like, I don't know that I've ever had the time or the drive to do this, but I do it. Anyway,
I guess I'm saying when we were 23 and we started this podcast, we were doing this straight to DVD bullshit that'll make your head spin, right? And it was funny because who the hell watches?
Because we were hopped 42 up on painkillers at 1 a.m. Yeah,
you know. And now it's like, all right, sorry everyone, I can't go out tonight, or I can't go to the movies, or I can't do work. I've got to watch Space Chimps, and everyone in my life is just like, AJ, why are you still doing this? You know, why are you still watching these kinds of movies?
Giving the people what they want, Mom. Let's say stuff like that. you can choose other things.
That's true.
The scope of your show could be as wide as you want it to be.
And right? There's got to be another chimpanzee or ape themed film franchise we could have asked you to do a crossover with us for, I'm sure. Every Which Way But Loose, and then the sequel, whatever that one's called.
It's a similar phrase but slightly different.
Every Which Operation Way Not or something
you
like
can
that.
Or something.
Yeah.
Operation Dumbo Drop.
Ooh, is that
a monkey movie?
I'm thinking of Mighty Joe Young, I think.
The problem, that one, a lot of them we've already done, I guess.
Yeah.
There are 100 odd episodes, but there's still heaps out. I haven't done the Indiana Jones ones, but I'm going to
have
them to do with someone.
Abu?
Oh, yeah, I've done Aladdin, done both.
Have you done Prometheus and Bob?
No.
Fuck yeah.
Maybe this is an off-pod discussion, but my one of my favorite like pop cultural artifacts is a claymation animated Nickelodeon short series called Prometheus and Bob. It was hilarious, and a couple of years ago we got in touch with the creator and like did a little interview with them, and it's so funny. It's such a good show.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Prometheus and Bob, I haven't heard of it.
I'll send you a personal Google Drive that has all the episodes on it, because I had to make it myself, because it's just I'm like the archivist for this show, you know, like
that's
it's disappeared from most places on the internet.
That's annoying, and it was really good.
Yeah, it's great. It's super underrated as well, and the creator was so nice, and for those keeping tabs, he emails me every couple of years or so to send me, like, a Christmas card or something like that. It's really cute.
What a legend. what did I say? The sequel to Anywhere, Which Way But Loose is Any Which Way You Can. Yeah. I might have said
Nice. We have a segment on our show, Matt, called Dumb IMDb Trivia. And as a purveyor of movies, I'm sure you've frequented the IMDb trivia section.
Well, we do a Patreon show, which we've almost finished, called Phrasing the Bar, about the filmography of Brendan Fraser.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, we get into the goofs there as well in the trivia.
Well, but the trivia, because it's user submitted, people can just say anything. And so we have over the years started documenting the poorly written or just blatantly incorrect IMDb trivia entries for different movies we've covered.
How many people found this helpful?
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
That gives a pretty good indication often.
Mm. And I thought this piece of trivia would be a good transition to the second film. This is on the IMDb trivia page for Space Chimps. It says, this is the only Space Chimp film to be released theatrically and rated G by the MPAA. All others were straight to DVD and rated PG.
Wow.
All one others.
Oh. Yeah, that is strangely written, I would say.
Yeah. Someone there very confident in the future of the Space Chimps franchise doesn't want to have to go back to edit their comment figures. Yeah, if they make more, they'll be director video. They'll be PG.
Yeah, they don't want them to go back to that sanitized G-rated drivel of the first one.
Yeah.
When they went straight to DVD and they loosened up a bit, PG, things got a bit hectic then.
Exactly.
Got rid of
They also lost Andy Samberg.
Yeah, exactly.
But they retained way more of the cast than I would have guessed.
I agree. So Space Chimps 2 Zartog Strikes Back came out straight to DVD in 2010, directed by a man named John H. Williams in what appears to be his only film. If you go to his Wikipedia page, he's not directed anything else other than this film. Do we want to have a guess? It does have a critic score and an audience score, despite being a straight-to-DVD film. What do you think each of those numbers are? Any guesses?
I'm guessing... I think it was a similar quality, probably, but I'm guessing... It's going to be lower. And I know Richard's probably already looked at this sheet. I've solved the mystery of how he always gets the
close. I know,
to the
right? That's what I tell him, and he gets really offended.
I'm going to say like 28.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is one of those rare films with the distinction of having 0%.
It has a 0% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes. However, it has a 35% audience score, which is higher than the audience score for the first film.
I think it's got some things that are better. I think it's got some things that are maybe even the exact same animation sequences.
Yeah.
I thought this was such a fall from grace for a film I didn't like that much, too.
Right. You must have been paying more attention than me.
I think maybe I was paying less attention. But
what playback speed did you guys watch these on?
I watched them full speed.
I was so glad they were both under an hour and a half, though.
Yeah. I watched this. This is maybe the fastest I've ever watched a movie. I think I had to go out in an hour, and I put it on and just raced through. My experience with this movie is that it's very, very quickly paced. Can we, for the audiences at home, what is Zartog Strikes Back about? Does anyone remember?
I've got the Wikipedia plot in front of me. Should I want me to just breeze through that?
Absolutely.
So it's 2 years after the events of the first film. Comet, who we didn't talk about. Comet is the young chimp who could really put up with the G's, couldn't he, in that first film? Made no sense they didn't take... Anyway, and he's the smartest one, but they didn't... Whatever. Anyway, so Comet, who's a tech-savvy young chimp, wants to be taken seriously as a full-fledged space chimp, but Ham, now played by Tom Kenny, replacing Andy Samberg, and Luna, still Cheryl Hines, and the other chimpanzees, do not take him seriously. Comet learns that he was removed from the last space mission because of budget cuts. And he learns this like in a a teen movie from America where there's the list up and he's got his name crossed to it. You didn't make the squad.
Yeah.
So yeah. You cut.
Yeah.
Which seems full on. Surely a conversation would have been a better way to deliver that message. But yeah, so he learns that. Then he sort of, he jumps into the ship. He tries to talk to a few people. He's upset. They don't listen to him, including the sort of Clint Eastwood sounding guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why I've got him. I've got him on my mind because of Any Which Way But Loose, probably. But do you reckon that the older chimp has got a bit of a Clint vibe about him?
Totally. He's definitely like some kind of character archetype that's being referenced.
Yeah, or like Charlton Heston in Planet of the Apes.
And then, so no one really listened to him. So he basically breaks into the rocket just to, blow off some steam, have a look around and just, but he's not doing anything. Then he goes through the motions. This is what I would have done if I was here. Flicking the buttons, getting ready for the liftoff. And then, oh no. Hang on.
Oh no.
We're lifting off? No, abort, abort, Siri or whatever. Stop. Do you have the passcode to stop this? No, I don't. Well, we're going to space.
Imagine if that's
which I think is a good system.
Yeah, passcodes work that you can't stop something from happening. You don't need a passcode to start it lifting off. You need it to stop it.
Yeah, that's which I think is a good system. And then, so at the end of the last film, Zertog has been dipped himself in that metallic stuff.
The Fresnar.
Living the nightmare of being, you know, a living statue.
Canonically for 2 years before this film as well. So he's...
That's right.
He's suffered.
He's used as the nose of the rocket to get them home in the first film.
Yeah.
But then we find that he's just on display as a statue out the front of someone's house.
Getting pissed on by Daxon.
Yeah, Daxon's pissing on him. His eyes are still darting around. And he's now played by Bender, Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah, correct.
John DiMaggio, sorry.
Not Joe DiMaggio. He couldn't quite make Joe it. DiMaggio.
That would be impressive.
And he hates ham. He hates all chimps. And he assumes that the chimps are the rulers of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's another... I found it to be quite fun. I don't know which movie it was in. But you know how often in bigger budget films, the aliens and the humans will just understand each other somehow. But in this one, they reveal after the alien is talking to them for a little bit, and then they go to the human's perspective, and he's just talking alien gibberish. I'm like, that's pretty fun. And they committed to that the whole time. They never had a shortcut where he stumbled upon a... you know, some sort of a translating machine or
although
something.
I don't think it's that clean because for some reason they are speaking the same language as the chimps who are also not being able to understood by the humans. But then the chimps can respond to things like the Siri thing on the ship and Siri understands them.
well, AJ, come on, nice try, but obviously... Siri can speak chimp and human.
Yeah, I think you would program that in if you're sending chimps into space.
This is why Siri is my favorite primate, I think, in popular culture.
I should say, you are right that John H. Williams doesn't quite have the same... I think he's sort of... Yeah, he's... If anything, he's mimicking D'Amico.
It's a clear imitation of D'Amico.
Yeah. Which I think it's not a bad imitation, but you can see he doesn't have quite the same vision. Yeah. But this, I still think this film was fun enough. I was going into it dreading it and ruining... Because I watched them both last night, AJ, and I was ruining your name. I was saying, damn you, AJ, and shaking my fist at the sky.
The fun thing about this.
Me, presumably.
No.
No beef with Richard. We actually nearly had you on our blockbuster Scooby-Doo episode a couple of years back, and you did, in fact, watch the film of similar quality to this before getting falling sick and not being able to record. So
yeah, what a great double that was. That was a single film. I watched it in the bath. It was pretty fun. This one, I'm cramming it last minute at night. And
no
it
time
was,
for a
it was less fun.
Yeah.
But I lulled a few times. I think I was maybe a bit delirious, but I had a few laughs. I was watching it with a mate who he has I would say he's like a youthful humor, sense of humor.
Nice, okay.
And he was like genuinely pissing. We were drinking beers as well, but he was genuinely piercing himself, laughing at some of the jokes, and it made it so much more enjoyable.
Is your friend a child? Is that just-
no, he's a 6-year-old man. Oh, yeah. He was, yeah, it was great. Or I'm 60. He's older than me.
Yeah. isn't it crazy to watch a movie like this where like the story machinations from the first film are taken into consideration in the second film, right? Like it is not just it's another chimps in space movie. This is a direct sequel, and I just can't stop thinking about the fact that some poor screenwriter, whoever wrote this film, had to consider the plot of the first Space Chimps and put actual creative thought into developing a continuation of the story. Harrowing work.
It is, yeah, because normally they'd go anyway back to square one.
Yeah,
and but no, Zertog was still there.
He's striking back.
Yeah,
and yeah, so Zartog's pissed on, but then I think when the rocket is launched by the young fella,
Comet.
What was his Comet? The blowback from that melts the metal, keeping him in.
Yeah, because Zartog's statue is just right next to like Cape Canaveral for some reason. Like it's just right there.
The house is unaffected, but obviously for whatever reason, that alien metal is not that strong to.
Well, and at the end
but it
of
got
the first
back
film.
To Earth as the of the rocket.
Right, true.
Yeah,
I think this is scientifically accurate.
Yeah. But I think these are the kinds of things that Kirk DeMarco would not have stood for.
Exactly.
And it got a little bit sloppy with a few of these things in the sequel. But yeah, so now he's on the warpath. The humans, we haven't really talked about them, but they're sort of like
well, that who Zartog is striking back against, actually, technically, you know.
But he thinks the chimps are the leaders. There's a whole, they keep going back to this conversation where we hear him going, take me to your leaders, talking to the humans, and then they're hearing, rah, 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 rah. And then, there's some, I don't know if they do characters like that. There's a few kind of stereotypes in the scientists that I don't know if they would still do or not, but the those scientists for some reason also invent a disintegration ray.
That
looks like a Wii controller.
Yeah, did they explain why it's a Wiimote?
It just was a Wiimote, was it? Yeah.
No, well, I thought it's the exact same shape.
Yeah, it looked exactly the same with that button on the back. Yeah.
But I was like, did I miss that they were like, oh, we've put it into this game controller, or did they just think we wouldn't notice? It's very 2010 of them to use a Wiimote.
Yeah.
The alien gets that. Zertog gets it, which I think was very clumsy from the scientist.
The one thing you don't want to happen.
Tucci is disintegrated, the senator. And then maybe the other scientists as well.
Yeah, they all get disintegrated.
They confess their love for each other, etc.
There's a fat one, a woman one, and an Indian one.
Jane Lynch plays one of them. And then... so we go back and so Comet's up on the planet and he's really good friends now at the balloon head one. Wait, was it meant to look like a boob? Because it had a nipple on the top of its head.
Oh, yeah.
I want to talk about this because these films are laden.
Can we please talk about boobs for a moment?
These films are laden with like really uncomfortable sexual jokes, and Kilowatt, the character who looks like a boob that I actually posted on our Instagram if anyone's looking for a visual reference, she is showing Comet around the planet and they go to this fantastical jungle and she gives gives him a fruit, which I think she calls a schnitzel fruit. And she says, we only give schnitzel fruit to very special friends. And they eat it and then are clearly, like, you know, affected by this fruit. Like, they sort of shake about and, like, go like, oh, you know, it's clearly giving them some kind of high. Now, is it drugs or are they coming? What's the go here? What do you think is the intention?
I thought it was real. I felt like, because Comet didn't seem weirded out by it, but I thought the vibe of the alien was pretty full on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, sort of like only the specialist friends. Like, you've kind of, this guy's very cornered on this planet away from home. Mm. I don't know. It just felt really like, I'm like, back off, lady, okay?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he seemed fine with it, but I'm like, geez, you're coming on a bit strong. Mm. What was its name? The boob?
Kilowatt.
No longer Kilowatt. Voiced Kilowatt. By Kristen Chenoweth as well.
No, that's true.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's
back
true.
Off.
And Tom Kenny as the replacement of Andy Samberg as Ham, who's very much sidelined in this movie. They clearly went, Comet's who we need to focus. We need to put all our stock into.
Yeah. Should be called Comet Strikes Back.
He is observing a computer that the others are trying to fix at one point and says, all I know how to do on this thing is download Chimps Gone Wild. Which, again, is like, it's not subtle enough of a sex joke to, in my opinion, be like appropriate for a kid's
What's a chimp porn name that you think would be subtle enough?
Well, Matt, you're the monkey primate based comedian. Perhaps you could think of something here.
What do we got? Marmosets.
Marmosets. Okay. I'd like there's a mommy kind of thing.
Yeah,
a
marmoset. Like,
Marmosets, I like to.
Yeah.
Or, what else is there?
What else?
Tamarins. Can you do anything with tamarins?
Gibbons.
Mm-hmm. Orangutans.
Mm. Orangutang? Like tang as in like a
pooty,
like,
orangutan?
Like a 1970s term for like pussy, I guess.
Or what about tang? Orgy tan?
Orgy tan. That's it, everybody. We
that's
go
it.
Home. We
finally,
got
we thought
tan.
Of a subtler name than Chimps Gone Wild.
What are chimps if not wild, anyway? Mm. You know?
Yeah, you don't know that it was porn.
I've assumed, and that's my bad. You're right.
Yeah, that's on you,
that's
man.
That's your dirty mind.
Yeah.
Yes. So what are we talking about? So they're up. They're sort of either getting high or falling in love or coming or whatever. And back on Earth, Zartog's got the upper hand. He's really striking back.
Mm.
And then they decide, the boob says, I think Comet's like, I've got to go home. I've got to save Earth
because
Zartog's on a rampage.
Yeah.
And then the boob goes, I'm coming. I'll come with you.
Then we already passed the part where the boob comes. You're
with
right.
Him, but, so the boob comes home with him and I don't know why I can't remember the boob's name. But what is it? Oh, my God.
Kilowatt.
And then, they get back down. I think they use the same footage or the same animation of the landing as the first film. Is it the same?
Probably.
It's very similar.
Who's going to notice in the truck, except for a couple of podcasters 15 years later?
Watching it back to back. It's probably the only way. There's sort of both movies have a really long outro. Mm-hmm. They finish the film and then there's like 10 more minutes.
Mm.
Where they must have gone, I don't think we can release this as a feature. We need to show everyone having fun for ages.
I think this movie's
they
got
do
it, the
even do a laughing scene.
Yeah. This movie's got the funniest runtime a movie can have as well, which is an hour and 14 minutes, which communicates so much, I think. It communicates this is not a standard movie. This is below the what movies usually are.
We couldn't quite get it out to the 120 you need,
120,
right?
Come on, guys. Get to 120. Yeah.
At least extend out the credits.
Yeah.
They shrink down. So they, Comet comes back, saves the day, fixes, like just very quickly modifies the Wii controller from being like an exterminating ray or whatever to bringing them back.
Mm-hmm.
From oblivion, and then
Zertok that Comet brings back only in tiny form.
Yeah, he gets shrunk.
It's a bit of fun.
Yeah, the dog comes after him, ready to piss on him again.
Yeah, he got what's coming to him.
Zartok should have pissed on the dog.
Yeah,
that's when he got
screenwriting 101. If in your first scene a dog pisses on someone, then that person has to piss back on the dog by the end of the film.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do they call that?
It's called Chekhov's gun.
Chekhov's urinary tract.
Yes, that's right. I knew there was a term for it.
So, Matt, on our little show, one of the segments we do is we try to continue the franchise. We try to pitch another sequel, another continuation of the illustrious Space Chips franchise. It's not the Space Chips franchise we try to continue every episode, but we are doing that this time. Who's got a sequel they want to share? Yep.
I think it's almost writing itself.
Mm-hmm.
Much like they did with the sequel, they'll have to do with the third one. You got to continue on directly.
Mm-hmm.
From the first to the second, they went, where is Zartog?
Yeah.
Where is he?
Yeah.
He's in metal. That's where we're going to begin. Mm-hmm. I think you do the same again. It's mini Zartog. Mm. And maybe Zartog in the following 2 years or 10 years or whatever, maybe we do it, you know, realistically, and this comes out this year and it's 14 years. Mm. And in the 14 years, mini Zartog has sort of colonized or whatever the bug realm on Earth.
Oh, so
he's in the weeds, but he's got them working for him like he's a dictator.
Mm.
And this is where you come in, AJ, with a great idea. Who's the protagonist of this film?
No, I will just compliment you on this idea, because as like strange of an outside source of like bugs are now part of the plot, as left of field as that is exactly within the filmmaking language of the Space Chimps films, right? Is to just throw in another element. You know, it's not just about chimps going to space. There's also this like bespoke alien race with like a culture that gets established and rules of the planet and specific biology, you know? Like you've gone on the right track completely there, I think, actually.
We're talking about like the world building of that other planet. Who, Kilowatt, the boob, is it one of a kind?
Yeah, there's no other kilowatts. There's no other boobs. You're dead right.
Which usually famously come in pairs.
Yeah. Most of the time, yeah.
Sisters, not twins, but still, there's normally at least one more. I mean, Total Recall, there were two more in that one scene. But
Richard.
Wait, Richard, can you help me out? What happens here? So he's got this bug colony now working for him. Maybe I'm just leading this into Bug's Life.
Maybe it is. It's I was going to pitch a crossover for my one as well, and cross it over with another franchise. I don't even know if it's a franchise that. Is the kind of thing that I would confuse Space Chips with. I think they head back to space and they run into the G-Force.
Is this from the movie G-Force?
With Zach Galifianakis playing a guinea pig who I think goes to space.
There is a guinea pig in Space Chips as well. So
maybe it's the same one.
Yeah, that was a pretty funny line where they said they realized that as chimps they were just the guinea pigs, and one of them said, "No, the guinea pigs are already on this other mission," and then they hard cut to a guinea pig in space.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's funny.
G-Force don't go to space, they're just like spies, okay.
Spies.
Oh, no, then there's G-Force Guardians of Space. Which is a completely unrelated thing which came out in 1986.
Wow. Because the G-Force is, that's what the G, feeling the G's, that's short for G-Force, is that right? Because we saw that that Comet could really withstand high G's. So I think he's a great link into the G-Force franchise.
A missing link into the G-Force.
Oh.
There we go.
Oh, my God.
My favorite primate, the missing link. My continue the franchise. I'm going more expected. I'm going more traditional. We've seen Space Chimps. We've seen Space Chimps 2. Let's check out Time Chimps. Let's send Ham and the gang through time, where maybe Zartog, you know, goes with them.
Causes the global financial crisis.
Causes, and 9/11. There we go. That's Space Chimps 3, Time Chimps.
Whoa.
There we go.
I like that. So different wormhole, but this one's this time-traveling wormhole.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I think we could combine all of those three plots.
Undoubtedly. These films are so unfocused already that all our ideas individually are actually too focused, I think.
What I like to do at the end of Primates, there's a couple of things we do here. The first one is some sort of scientist, regular guest on the show, Andy Matthews, told me once that, and it's actually referenced in these films, that chimps and humans share about 99.8% DNA. I want you to tell me how much of yourselves you see in one of the ape characters in the film. And what percentage you see yourself in there, and for what reasons?
Okay.
If you don't, if that doesn't make any sense, I could go first.
I really see myself, as AJ mentioned earlier, that, you know, you've got, there's like the buff one, there's the female one, there's the nerdy one, but then at the front and center of the first film, you've got the weird pervert, and I really. It's the kind of representation you don't get a lot as a weird sort of pervy kind of guy. And so, yeah, it was just like, it was really nice to see 99.8% of myself reflected on screen.
Wow.
Wow.
So you're a very close match. Probably the 0.2% would just be the fact that you're not an animated chimp.
The 0.2% is like a stand-up guy, like, you know.
Yeah, right.
Respects women.
What, I don't know if I remember this guy. Who was that?
The main character, Andy Samberg's character.
Right. Man, I did not pay all that much attention. I don't remember any of that. That's funny. I remember he was in the circus. And he missed the hole when he was coming back down. Yeah. I don't know if that was also meant to be a euphemism. Yeah, but probably. What about you, AJ?
I'm going to say that I identified most with Comet because he gets left out of the adventure, which is what I wanted so desperately watching these movies, was to just be left out of it completely.
Yeah, right.
What percentage of yourself did you see him?
I saw, let's say 55%, because the other 45% that I don't identify with is the fact that he's sad about being left out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right, that's okay, a big part of it. For me, I think I saw myself most in the grizzled old guy, just because he was old and sort of grumpy and whatnot. But I'm not entirely the same as him because I'm not a chimp. I don't really understand rockets and stuff. Like, he seemed to be pretty good or even the circus, which I think he also worked in, and cannons. He went from cannons to rockets. I couldn't do either of those. So I think I'd probably subtract about 31%. So I'd say about 69% for
nice.
Me.
Nice.
Sounds like a-
I love and, that your first little sort of addendum on why you don't identify with him completely is that you're not a chimp, because presumably that's what you mentioned first for every episode of
that. Honestly, I can't remember most of the stupid in jokes, but the other thing we do is give it the films a banana score. So firstly, I ask you, if you like bananas, when you go shopping, how many, what's a bunch for you? How many do you get in a bunch? And then, so that's your out of score. And then how many bananas do you give this film? And also, how ripe are those bananas?
Oh, very complex. Very nuanced rating system. I don't typically buy bananas, but let's say I was making banana bread, I'd buy maybe like 5 bananas. And they're all rotten, because that's how you make, well, banana cake, right? You need rotten bananas. And I am actually not going to give this film any rotten bananas, but they are still rotten. I want to be clear.
Okay. Yeah. All right. What about you, Richard?
It's interesting. Before I reveal my answer, we do every episode we do a post credits scene question. Mm. And just two episodes ago, I believe, the question we were asked was, how often do you eat a banana?
Yeah, wow.
And I gave the answer that I haven't, like, other than in things, I wouldn't have had a banana in probably 20, 25 years.
Wow.
And yeah, so if I was buying a banana, I would probably be buying, like, the you get, like, pre-frozen ones that you can just chuck in a smoothie, because that would be the most likely time I'd have to do that. Mm. So I'm going to go out of I would get a 500 gram bag of frozen bananas, and I'm going to give this film 75 grams.
Wow.
75 grams.
Out of
500. I don't think we've had that rating before.
Are you writing these down, Matt? Where do these get held on record? Where are these being?
each episode has a doc. And you're just noting them down.
And
they used to be a lot more, have a lot more detail than they do now, but I'm still putting down there. I'm going to say my bunches are always seven, one per day of the week.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
And then I think these films, I'd probably give two out of seven. Bananas, and they'd be fine. They'd be sort of pretty. No, I'll say three, whatever. And then three out of seven. I'm not
like,
trying to be
like
mean.
It's like we were pressuring you, but no one was saying anything. You were just like, oh, no.
I just thought, like, because if Kirk is listening, I want him to know that most of those bananas were for your film, Kirk, and your the world you built. And then, obviously, the next guy came in, John H. Williams, sort of just
stopped all
know,
over it.
Sort of, yeah, it was pretty disappointing. But they're ripe. Mm. They're still a bit of green. Mm. Mm. A bit green, but yeah.
Nice.
Hey, I don't know, because you two are big movie watchers. We used to have a segment called Circus Watch, and it was all about Andy Serkis, one of the greatest to ever play primates on film. Is there any connection? This is a question without notice. Just thought off the top of my head. Have either of you had any reason to bump into Andy Serkis or know of anyone who has any connection there?
Do I know?
We used to have a dream that we could get him on the show one day.
I certainly don't know anyone well enough that I could get you Andy Serkis on the show. I don't know. He's been to New Zealand. He's, you know, like, I've probably met people who have met him. But
yeah, I interviewed Jack Black over the weekend, who was his co-star in King Kong.
That's true. There you go. Maybe you can ask Jack Black for Andy Serkis.
If only we were supposed to record this a week ago. And Matt, maybe if you hadn't come down with some kind of flu or COVID, I could have gotten a number for you.
Damn it.
I love the idea of asking someone considerably more famous than Andy Serkis if you could get them Andy Serkis' stuff. Nice.
Well, no, I think that just feels like we're a little bit closer along. We're putting that back out into the universe now for the first time in a few years.
He's writing
so
all
good.
Of this down in the dock, everybody. He's
yeah, it's going into the dock. I've got a bunch of questions I've just realized in the show notes. Listeners can add questions or comments. I'll just do one of them. Are you open to hearing a question?
Please.
Absolutely.
This comes from Emily from Adelaide. And Emily writes, orangutans, they can write a question or a comment or give us a fact or whatever they like. Orangutans are known by their reddish ginger fur and presence of beards and mustaches in adult males, not their value. They're usually vegetarian and not at all aggressive. They've been known to wear a hat or play with a football. Their IQ comes close to the average human. Is that true?
Wow.
They communicate through vocalizations, chants, calls, and grunts. So my question is, Matt, if you could be any primate, what would it be? I mean, yes. I think I see what you've done there. Yes, I am basically am an orangutan. And I think they're probably my pick anyway. What about you two? Who, if you could be any primate,
I think I've only seen this word written down, but a bonobo or bonobo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Bonobo chimps.
Yeah.
They're the
They're one of the few matriarchal
feminist
ape societies,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah,
that's a very feminist answer. But they're also really horny too, which goes with your your perv thing before. They apparently they settle arguments with sex, and everything is just sort
of
about
boning. They're horny feminists then, these monkeys.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great.
If I had a nickel.
Has this, I feel like this, oh no, because this is the first time this question's been asked, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, well then I'm going to revive a much stood on joke by this point. I'd be Andy from Toy Story, I think, would be the primate I would be.
Imagine the life you would live.
Oh my God, I could find, I'm moments away from discovering my toys are sentient, but never quite catching them.
Damn. That's so good. Thank you so much to Emily for that question. Yeah, like I say, if you have any questions or comments or whatever, there's a link in the show notes, which is the description of the show, which apparently people don't really know what that means.
No,
but
we say that a lot as well.
How would you describe it, Richard? What's the show notes?
If you're like listening to this on whatever podcast platform, usually, you know, it'll be like, Spaceships and Spaceships 2, the Cult Popshire podcast, and then there'll be the logo. Below that, it'll be like, check out our ... and then you can actually expand that, and there's a whole paragraph that we've written to make you laugh, very underappreciated, a lot of the time. We've announced like series of podcasts have been ending in the show notes, and no one has said anything before.
I just don't think people generally, and I would hardly read them either. But when you say it's in the show notes, but I guess, you know, whatever. Should it, but for the listeners of Primates, do you want to quickly explain what your show is and how they can find it?
Please. So we are a show called Cult Popshire, and every fortnight we cover a different film franchise. This year specifically, we're only doing two film franchises, which is why Space Chimps was a happy middle ground for the two shows. But in the past, we've done everything from Godzilla to Godfather to God's Not Dead. We have been going.
Did you just come up with it?
I did. No. We've been going since like 2016. So we have covered 100. Space Chimps is our 194th franchise that we've covered. It's not to get too existential, but like this podcast has grown with me as I've become an adult. Like, it has been the soundtrack of my life through a very formative time. So you can go back and listen to all sorts of coming of age journeys through watching movies. Yeah.
The first episode, it sounds like, hello, this is AJ.
Not me. Richard,
I have a lisp in the first season.
And your voice is so high-pitched for some reason. You lowered your voice in your teens for some reason.
Yeah, I did like a, what's her name from The Dropout? The Theranos. Check.
I don't know what
that's a great reference for anyone who's watched The Dropout.
Oh, there's a Do Go On episode about her. So
you know, the Theranos. What was her name?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Now I thank you for putting it through the Do Go On lens.
Elizabeth Holmes.
Oh, yeah, no, I know that.
Elizabeth Holmes. I'm
yes, she of. Did put on a deeper
Elizabeth
voice.
Elizabeth Holmes.
Oh, so you are putting it on?
I am putting it on. My actual voice sounds like this. Yeah, I in early recordings of myself, I have a lisp. There's like video footage of me in like 2011, with some friends that I revisited recently, and I have a lisp in it for some reason.
Yeah, right. Did any vocal work to get through that?
Genuinely, or? To not like just say it's not me, I think there's like a certain lower quality of mic that picks up my S's really strongly. Because I think once we upgraded our microphones, it went away, and this was like filmed on a shit. The footage I'm talking about is like a shitty little camcorder I won in a filmmaking competition in 2010.
I love a lisp. I find them very pleasant to listen to.
Yeah.
Anyway, for the listeners of Cult Popshire, this is Primates, and it's a show about primates pop culture. I think there's probably 150-ish episodes, and we've done, some of the big ones like Planet of the Apes and, you know, the reboot of Planet of the Apes.
Well, actually,
normally we do one movie per
to help
per episode.
Pitch your own show, Matt, you have also done the MVP trilogy, there's some crossover there because we did that as well, and it's a sort of an underdog popular episode with our fans because we mainly just talked about streets in Christchurch for the whole episode.
Someone quit the Patreon.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah.
That's so good.
That's amazing. Well, we quite liked it because you talk about Kirk DeMaico as an auteur. Mm. I mean, he's walking on the back of the giant Robert Vince.
Do you reckon we are the only two podcasts in the world that have like individual running gags about Robert Vince, the director of like 1,000 Air Bud monkey movies kind of thing?
Well, I think he was a producer more on the Air Buds. The directing is when he really took over.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, he directed.
He directed some Air Buds. Yeah.
He did Air Buddies.
All of the Buddies movies.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll accept that.
don't
cross me on Robert Vince knowledge, but
we have quickly got to rank Space Chimps with the rest of the franchises we've done. Richard, I'm going to take a guess for you. I'm going to put it at 188, just above the kissing booth. Do you approve?
I want Matt's input on this.
Matt, do you think that this is better than the kissing booth?
I doubt it, but yeah, maybe. Yeah, I will say that.
Thank you so much.
I haven't seen the kids.
Do you reckon it's better than the Sex and the City movies?
Mm.
Oh, man. I don't think it probably is, but I the only one of the Sex and the City... I was in the Greek islands, right, on this island called Eos, staying at this place called the Far Out Beach Club, and it was a pretty hectic sort of party place, drinking cocktails by the pool during the day, very cheap cocktails, and it's, we're living a Sex and the City type life. Mm. And then they put on, not really, but then they put on a movie on next to the pool each night, and I went up close to charge, look over me and my mate's phones as they were charging, and that movie was on, and I was like right up the front. And they came back an hour later going, hey, we're going into town, let's go. And apparently I was just like, chin resting on my hand, like staring up at the film. I said, I'll catch you up later. I was so engrossed by it, I couldn't tell you a thing about it, but apparently I was loving it.
That's brilliant.
So I'm going to say that seeing as I was not engrossed by Space Chimps, I'm going to have to put Sex and the City above it.
Okay.
And that wasn't even I think that was Sex and the City 2, maybe, which apparently is awful. Yeah,
we actually know a couple of guys, Matt, who have seen both Sex and the City movies quite a few times. So,
I guess. Was that one of the, that was one of the worst idea of all time?
They did both series? Of them, yeah.
Amazing. And I imagine they were engrossed as well. But I think if you are going to watch it full of cocktails by the pool in the Greek islands. That's how I would watch it.
That's how I'd watch Space Chimps if I had to do a rewatch.
All right.
Can I also tell your listeners that the podcast I do now weekly, I do two, Do Go On, which AJ's been on to tell us about the Barbie movie franchise, and he's going to be on an upcoming episode telling us about June. Mm-hmm. Or do you?
We'll talk about it. How do you say that?
Okay. That freaked me out. But then, AJ has been on Who Knew with Matt Stewart, a weekly quiz podcast where guests come on, make bad answers to good questions. Actually, I don't know how to explain it.
It's the game Boulder Dash.
It's like Boulder Dash or Dictionary. Yeah. There's another one people talk about similar called... It's like a Jack in the Box game, similar to it as well, apparently, called, I can't remember what it's called, but apparently it's an age-old format where dictionary is like the first one. People would pass a dictionary around and pick out an obscure word, but we've taken it a bit further than that. But anyway, that's its own thing. It's called Who Knew with Matt Stewart. it's actually pretty fun. Now, if people want to find you, apart from your podcast, Cult Popcha. What's your bet? AJ and HD on Twitter. Is that your best one?
Yeah, AJ and HD.
And I'm Richard Martin NZ on Twitter.
Sick. On Twitter, I'm MattStew_art. And I don't feel good saying that out loud. Matt Stewart Comedy on other things. But I'm also about to do a month at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Oh, awesome, yeah.
Start at the Chinese Museum, then going to Sydney and Brisbane Comedy Festivals as well. The show's called Dry Dryer with me and Saranjaya Mana.
Awesome.
Yes. Hey, why don't you review both of our shows? Give us 5 stars. Tell us whatever you like, and I'll read that out next time we do an episode.
There you go.
Do that for Cult Popture as well.
Yeah.
Anything else you need to say before we go?
We'll do an out. We've got a bunch of other bullshit we got to get through. We'll let you go, Matt. So we'll let you shoot off.
I'll say this though. I put the guests on the spot to do the outro. I pretend like we say it every week. And I'll throw that to you in a second. Sometimes people do a chimpolated or a callback or anything, or sometimes I just spill out the first words I can think of. Anyway, thank you so much for joining me this week, Richard and AJ. And AJ, as we always say here at the Primates Podcast,
Andy from Toy Story is technically a primate.
We did it.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.